Hi everyone, welcome back to the Research in Software Engineering group, and today we are with Mikhail Moskal. I hope I didn't destroy your name. So before we go on and talk about cool stuff today, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here and things like that.
So my name is Mikhail Moskal, in the perfect pronunciation. So I'm Polish, I'm from Wrocław. I'm currently working at the European Microsoft Innovation Center in Aachen, but I used to be an intern here, and I'm actually working a lot of people who actually work here. So now I'm here in Redmond visiting for a month, and I mostly work on the Verified C project. So
yeah, so Mikhail was here for a short while, so I managed to get him in front of the camera, and we're going to talk about this very cool project called Verified C. So C has been here for a while. What's new about Verified C?
Well,
why do you need Verified C anyway?
Well, everyone is upset when their program says, you know, contact the dealer, it crashed. So you generally don't want programs to crash. And even more important than that, you don't want to have any security breaches and so forth. So it is therefore important that the software is actually correct, so it does what it's supposed to do. And C is not the safest language on the planet, right? So you can do a number of things. You can do buffer overruns. You can do there are integer overflows that can lead to other problems. There's all that sort of stuff that is not there in the safer languages.
So in C, unlike the new languages like C#, the compiler would let you do anything.
Yes, the compiler will essentially let you do anything, and that can lead to problems. However, it is still the case that C is used a lot, right? It's used in the operating systems, it's used in all the embedded devices, it's used to program, you know, software for airplanes and space shuttles, or maybe ABBA sometimes. But it's used a lot, and really in very critical systems. So it's very important that software is actually correct. And it's not only about buffer overruns on things like that the C# compiler would prevent you from doing. It's also about things that no compiler could have any hope of preventing you from doing. Like, you know, I don't know, printing passwords of every user to the screen or something like that.
That doesn't sound good. Okay, so Verified C, does it solve any kind of those problems, and what's the project about?
Yeah, the project is about full functional verification of C code. So it means that we are taking C code, we have some specification for that code, which says what it does, and we check that the code does what it's supposed to do. And once we say that, well, yeah, it does it, then first of all, it really does it. Second of all, it cannot have any memory problems, like, you know, like those buffer overruns or whatever. And that's it, right? So it's a sound verifier. So it verifies that the program does what it's supposed to do.
All right. How does it work? Maybe you can give us a better idea.
So,
oops. There
he is. So what you have is you start with C code, right? So you have some C code, or maybe you want to write some C code. However, what you need to do is you need to add some additional annotations to that code. You need to say what the code is supposed to do. So you annotate the C code.
So when you say annotate, you mean you have some kind of library where you can write?
Well, you basically go to every procedure in your program and say, this procedure requires this and that from its parameters, and this procedure ensures that whenever it's done, this and that condition is true. Okay. So this is called design by contract. And it can be difficult to write those things, but on the other hand, there are systems where we cannot really afford to fail. like those before mentioned airplanes. And then that's basically the sweet spot for these kind of tools.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically you start with annotated C. So you have a bunch of annotations. They are really C preprocessor macros, so we can compile them away.
And we will see them later on in Visual Studio.
Yes. But one thing that you can do is to compile them away and then use the regular C compiler and get a binary, right, that you can run.
Okay.
Now, but that's, of course, defeats the purpose to have the annotation to just compile them away. So the other thing that you can do is to use VCC.
VCC stands for?
Verified C Compiler.
Okay.
And, well, you run VCC, right? And there are three outcomes that you can get. Either it's okay, so it's verified. Everything is fine. You're happy. You can put the stuff on the plane and start it.
Before we go on, could you give us a brief idea of what does it mean to be verified? How do you say so?
That's really a good question. So it doesn't have anything to do with the verification of signatures or anything like that. It's a mathematical method. So you basically look at the program. So you have the verified C compiler that looks at your program, constructs a mathematical model of what the program does, and then passes it on to an automated theorem prover that does all the hard work figuring out what you actually meant and how does it relate to the specifications. And then, well, either the theorem prover say it's fine, in which case we are actually sure it is fine. And this is not, the reason we are sure is not because some authority told us so, right? There was someone up there telling us, you know, these guys, they only make good software, right?
No, you actually proved the theorem.
We have actually proved the theorem. And so up to the problem with it is indeed possible to have some bugs in VCC or the theorem prover, whatever. But modulo that, you're actually sure that it's all fine. And it's actually rather unlikely to have the bug manifest in a way that will show, that will hide your particular bug that you had in the
software. Right.
Now, okay, so it either is verified or it says you that there is an error in your source code. And then it will tell you, well, I don't think this memory location really belongs to you, shouldn't really write it. Or it will tell you, this specification that you have written here is not really met. And then what you can do with that is you can use the model viewer. You can look at the state of the program, or basically the mathematical model of the program that we have constructed, and actually inspect it and see what might be wrong. Right? So you can use the model viewer to see what's wrong, right? And then you change the specification and start again. Or the code, of course, if you have found a bug in the code. Well, unfortunately, because all what we do here is kind of on the edge of what the computer science can and cannot do, it is also possible that it will take forever, right? So it might also time out. And then there is another tool that you can use, which is called Axiom Profiler, to figure out why does it take so long, and then you can fix it and restart.
And so we're here in Visual Studio with a C program, and now we're going to see how verified C works.
Actually, we're going to see it on some simple example.
Okay, let's verify some C code.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. We have a function. It takes a parameter x and increments it. What can go wrong, right? So you right click on a function, and it allows you to verify the function or the entire file. Oh, well, there are some more advanced commands, but we are just going to verify the function. Well, it asks us to save the files, fine, and then it's verifying. It only takes so long to start. This function doesn't really take long to verify. Now, there is a squiggly underneath the X++. So what could possibly go wrong with X++? It says, well, it might overflow. Indeed, it might. And then you can go to the context menu on the error and see the error model. So the error model tells you what did the theorem prover think. What did the theorem prover think was going on when the program went wrong? Well, it basically says what you expected, right?
So the model is really a counterexample.
It's a counterexample for your program. You could, and there are some tools made by some people here that you could extract a test case from it. So in this case, it's actually easy, right? So you just assign, if you would pass to this function x 2,147,000,000 whatever, then it would indeed overflow. But, I mean, what's wrong about overflowing, right? It might lead to some errors later, but it's actually not a problem in its own. But still, we decided to check for overflows by default, just to prevent those errors later. You can disable that check. But the other way to fix it is to say, well, actually, let's say we are really only concerned about the cases where we call that function with x between, I don't know, 0 and 20. Right? So
hold on. What did you just do? You added this clause.
Yeah, I said on the method that it requires the x, so its parameter, to be between 0 and 20.
So those are the annotation we were talking about previously.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so these are either macros, but also being understood by the verified C compiler.
Yes, so when you compile the program normally, they just go away. However, when you verify the program, the verifier looks at them and treats them.
And so requires takes a C expression.
Yes, exactly. So you can use all the C syntax in the requires, so you can have any C expression in there. You can, however, also use some more complicated stuff, for example, to say that all elements of array are bigger than 0 or something like that.
Okay, cool. So now what does it say?
Yeah, let's try to verify it again. It says verifying, and then it says verification succeeded.
So we prove that there is no problem in this.
Yeah,
in this
which
method.
Is probably not that surprising. So now let's maybe try something somewhat more complicated, but not much. Right. So let's say we have a method and it has a character buffer of size 100, and it wants to zero it out using a for loop. I++. And then buffer of I is 0. Now let's see what it says. It says it failed. So when we look at the squiggly, it says assertion buff of I is type did not verify, which is the VCC speak for saying, you know, this memory location is not really a valid memory location. You shouldn't maybe really write it.
So that means you're writing at the wrong memory location, so...
Yeah, there's something wrong, and, well, when you actually look at the error model, so it says I is 100. Oh, but 100 is one off, so there should be less than here, and not less than an equal.
So this is the typical off by one,
yes,
buffer overrun.
Yeah,
but and this leads to security exploits and all kinds of bad things.
Yes, but this is definitely not the most advanced thing that we can do. So, to show you something more advanced.
So how?
Yeah.
So in this case, there's no annotation to.
Yeah, there was no annotation necessary in this case.
Okay.
So this is a very simple example.
Okay, let's go to the next example.
Well, the next example is a lock. It's not a program using a lock, it's a lock. Lock itself. So, we scientists found it somehow important to verify also the primitives, right? So the things on which everything builds, not only the code, but also the background libraries. And this is actually what we are doing in the current project that uses VCC, which is the hypervisor verification. So hypervisor is It's a virtualization platform from Microsoft, and we are trying to verify it. And it is basic in the sense that it's an operating system. It basically even sits below an operating system. But it's also basic in the sense that they had to implement all the concurrency stuff on their own, right? They couldn't have used any libraries because, well, it's an operating system. And therefore, it was very important for us to also verify that those implementations are correct. And that log is basically one such example. So when you look here, there is the structure definition of the log structure, and there are some annotations. It says claimable, and it says volatile owns. And then, well, they mean something for VCC, but maybe I won't get into that. Now, then there is the volatile field in the log, which says whether it is actually acquired currently or not. That's the logged field. And then what we introduce there is a spec field. Spec field is a field that won't really appear in the running code, but is really there only to allow for verification, right? So we sometimes need to extend objects with some information that they do not normally need in the normal implementation in order to verify the code. So that particular information here is the object that is protected by the log. So we have a pointer to that object in the spec field. What goes next is an invariant. Invariant is a condition under which a particular log structure is considered to be a valid log structure, right? So even though, for example, the int value might be whatever you want it to be, you might, for example, in case of some types, restrict it to some range. And that's some simple invariant. This invariant is somewhat more complicated, and it says if the log is not taken, so if the field locked is zero, then, so this funny symbol here is an implication. So if that happens, then we should own the protected object. So the log should then be the owner of the protected object. And that set in means that this object is in that set, and the owns of this is the set of things owned by the by the current object.
So you need to write a long list of annotations and annotate every method.
Yes, exactly. So that's the current major problem with what we are doing here, is that you need a lots and lots of annotations. So it seems that actually annotating the code is as hard as writing it in the first place. So you first of all need to understand exactly what's going on, if you wasn't the one to write the code. And even if you were the one to write the code, you still, when reasoning about it in somewhat different language, right, in the specification language, only when trying to move your knowledge about the code from the running code to the specification, only during that process you already can find some problems on your own.
But the major benefit is when you're done, then
yeah,
you prove that your program behaves with respect to the specification you've written.
Exactly. And now, how do you know that the specification is correct? That's, of course, sort of a chicken and egg problem. But, well, generally, you are only concerned about the specification of the top-level methods. Because under those specification of top-level methods, all the other methods, whatever the specification that they have, that's fine, right? The specification is met at the point where they are called. And some systems have actually rather simple specifications, or maybe not so simple. So in case of the hypervisor, it says that, well, the hypervisor emulates the x64 machine, the real machine, which means that you need to have a model for the machine, and then you say, well, it does whatever the machine does. This is not so simple, but in some cases, well, it is somewhat simpler. Also, if the specification on your entry method are at least satisfiable, so it is possible to call that method, then you are already going to discover some problems.
That's very interesting. So when we run verified C on the log, so the log is pretty big. We did a jump in complexity here.
Yeah. You can look at it. I mean, there is the log acquire, log release, there is the method to test it, right? and there's some comments at the end, and then you can right click it and verify the file, and then you can go and actually look at the output, and it starts up. And then when it actually starts up, it's rather fast, right? The whole method verification took just 3 seconds. However, there was a verification error in acquire. And what was that? Oh, there was something commented out, that's probably from the previous version of the program. So
it's a previous demo.
Yeah, it was a previous demo. So there was a commented out statement setting the locked field to zero after transmitting the ownership of the protected object out of the lock. So when you give out the protected object out of the lock, you should better set that field. And VCC correctly detected that bug. So now I put it back here, and let's see if it works now. Verification succeeded, and then you can look at the output.
Victory!
Yeah.
Very cool. So I think we're gonna be done with the demos here. What if people want to know about VerifyT?
They can actually go to our website. We have an external website. It's at research.microsoft.com.
Yeah, we'll add the link. And there's no download available right now.
Yes, but we're working on that.
And okay, so we'll keep you posted when VCC actually makes a release.
If you are more of an academic type, there are some papers there, and there are also some slides.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Michal. That was great. A great demo and very exciting project. And see you around so you can say bye to our viewers.
Bye.